Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Would you believe that today, the day we celebrate Christ the King, is actually the last day of the church year? A church year has a calendar, just like we have scenic calendars of a regular year in January until December. But a church year begins with Advent, and that will start next Sunday. A church year is days and seasons that celebrate events in the life of Christ and our identity as his followers. The great gift is this. Each year, year after year, we are invited to go deeper as the days and seasons of a church year unfold. Advent leads up to Christmas, then we have Epiphany, then we have the season after the baptism of Jesus called Lent, then we have Easter, then we have 50 days later, Pentecost, the birthday of our church. And then we have a very long stretch, and it ends today. At the top of your worship bulletin each Sunday, we indicate where we are in the church year. So today at the top it reads, Last Sunday After Pentecost. So every year we cycle the seasons from Advent through Pentecost. And with every year, with every repetition of stories from the Gospels, the epistles at the end of the Bible, and the books at the beginning of the Bible, their meaning is meant to become more significant, more familiar, richer, and deeper. Now, we never get tired of celebrating Thanksgiving each year. In fact, we look forward to all that will be familiar and expected. And that is the invitation of a church year, to look forward, Sunday after Sunday, being fed by the good news of God. We do not get tired of having the same things on our Thanksgiving table each year. In fact, just the opposite. If something is missing, we wonder what happened. In fact, we can hardly wait, and no matter how full we feel at the end of a meal, there is always room for pumpkin pie. So Thanksgiving is surrounded by ritual and repetition, and so is the church year. In the church year, the rituals and repetitions of words and sacrament is actually the key to the grace in your lives. So year after year, the cycle of hearing the wisdom from the prophets, the teachings and miracles of Jesus, and the letters of Paul that were meant to uplift the early church. All of these readings, year after year, create patterns of meaning that can give shape and direction to the events of our lives. They can help us make sense that all of life is significant because God became one of us and invites us to faithful, hope-filled, and loving existence as one family. So year after year, we are invited to go deeper still. Now all of us will be 1 year older when we sit down for our turkey dinner this Thursday. 1 year older than last year. We will probably notice how children have grown, or how parents and grandparents are aging. We might also be aware when we sit down that we have changed since last year. If the past year has had difficult moments, as in a loved one dying, or you faced unexpected moments that were emotional, mental, or spiritual, or you endured surgery, or your finances became precarious. With whatever difficulties were experienced, you are perhaps a bit wiser and a little more aware of your dependence on God. If this past year was filled with joyful occasions, like someone special in your life getting married, or there was a new addition to your extended family, or a son or daughter achieved a milestone, or got their license, you might find gratitude welling up inside of you when you sing today's offertory hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." We are reminded of who we are when we gather with family and friends and celebrate traditions such as Thanksgiving. Our rituals are a part of our identity. For Christians, our rituals and the repetition of stories from the Bible teach us of our identity as followers of Christ and beloved children of God. So today is another lesson of who Jesus Christ is, and another lesson for our identity as Christians. Yet, it may be difficult to understand the title, Christ the King. So today is a day when we ask you to turn an idea upside down, to firmly take the word King and turn it on its head, because the leadership of Jesus is the opposite of the image of king we might think of when we think of Queen Elizabeth in England, or imagine into the future the amazing pageantry that will take place when Prince Charles becomes king and eventually Prince William. In fact, the gospel today might just seem out of place. Why a scene from the crucifixion of Jesus on the last day of the church year? These last moments of Jesus seem to be in contrast to what is valued as great in our world. Advertisements want us to believe that the ideal is to be rich and beautiful and influential, and of course you must be successful. But this gospel describes the opposite. The passage portrays a humiliated leader, seemingly helpless on the cross. But on the cross, Jesus turned and said to the crucified thief, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So from the cross is the crowning moment of Jesus' life. The kingdom of Jesus is now, not waiting for a remote future like Prince Charles has been waiting and waiting to be King of England. The kingdom of God is now. The ruler of this kingdom is already with you, in your life and in your dying, when you fail and when you succeed. Indeed, Jesus is close to you even when you feel distance from God. And in our second reading, we hear how incredible this presence is. He is the image of the invisible God. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. That means whatever you are dealing with, it is held together in the presence of Jesus. He does not want us to suffer in the dark or sadness alone. For today he says to each of us, you are with me in paradise, in my kingdom on earth. Christ is our King, humble and compassionate. He never went to a university, never wrote a book, never held any public office, never had any friends in high places, never traveled out of his tiny country, never met anyone more important than a provincial governor. His only crown was a wreath of thorns. His only throne, two crossed planks of wood, the cross. At his right hand and at his left, two dying thieves. So the picture of his final moments was not a picture of a successful king. A king in the terms of this world. But it is the image of our crucified God, who as one of us helped others before he would help himself, forgave those who put him to death because he knew they knew not what they were doing. He did not meet evil with evil, but met evil with good. Where there was injury, pardon. Where there was error, truth. Where there was doubt, faith. Where there was despair, hope. Where there was darkness, light. And where there was sadness, joy. He showed us the way. So two words can sum up the reign of Christ: humility and service. This Sunday of Christ the King is a fitting conclusion to the season after Pentecost, because during these many weeks we have reflected on the life and ministry of Jesus as he proclaimed, "The kingdom of God has come near." And on this final Sunday before Advent, we affirm that in Jesus, God has indeed brought forth a new creation, a kingdom of forgiveness and love. Let us celebrate a remarkable thing. Jesus of Nazareth is indeed our incomparable King. Let us become a channel of his grace, serving with humility. For it is in giving that you will receive. Amen.